Listener-supported independent music radio, WNRN. We're broadcasting from the Blue Ridge to the Bay. I'm Desiree Moses, coming to you live from In Your Ear Studios in Richmond with an audience of WNRN members. This is a very special session. It is our first session of 2026, and 2026 marks WNRN's 30th anniversary. So in celebration, we're partnering with artists throughout the year who have meant something to WNRN, and we couldn't think of a better artist to kick off this series with than Josh Ritter. Give him a warm hand.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Josh's new album is I Believe in You, My Honeydew. We've enjoyed spinning Honeydew No Light on WNRN. He played in Charlottesville earlier this week, played at the Tin Pan in Richmond last night, and is playing night two at the Tin Pan this evening. The show kicks off at 8 o'clock. And we're going to ask Josh to kick it off with a song. What would you like to play for us first?
Sure. I'll play this for the time that's in. I'm going to play Only a River, which I wrote and worked on with Bob Weir. So I'm going to play that for him. It's called Only a River. I was born in the mountains. I was raised in a desert town, and I never saw the ocean till I was close to your age now. Oh, Shenandoah, I long to see you. I feel somehow on rivers of corn and wheat and rye. Oh, Shenandoah, I long to see you. Way, you rolling river. Oh, Shenandoah, I long to see you. Hey, only a river gonna make things right. Only a river gonna make things right. Things we said, and do you think she'll remember me? And our nights in the riverbed. Oh, Shenandoah, I long to see you. Shenandoah, I long to see you. Hey, 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 only a river gonna make things right. Only a river gonna make things right. Only a river gonna make things right. Only a river gonna make things right.
Thank you.
Josh Ritter live on WNRN from In Your Ears Studios in Richmond. Only a River, as you mentioned, a song co-written with Bob Weir, recently passed away. What can you share with us about the experience of working with Bob?
It was, I didn't grow up with the Grateful Dead, you know, like I grew up in Northern Idaho, and I just was never in a community that had like a great connection. So when I started working with Weir, it happened because my friend Josh Kaufman had worked with him on a record, and Bob said he wanted to make a record that made him feel like he was back in Wyoming when he was a kid. And I'm from Idaho. I thought Wyoming, that's like I can do Wyoming, you know.
It's the same.
They're just a little different, you know. And so I sent along this song, Only a River, which I had written back in when I was about 19, and Bob liked it and said, what else have you got? And I had nothing else. So I wrote as fast as I could on the plane a couple songs that were like on my mind and things that I've been thinking about. And it was just a wonderful experience, you know, working with him and realizing that, you know, I learn a lot from people who are older than me who have been doing music for much longer. You know, they always teach you something. And Bob taught me that, like, you keep your ears open and you don't look to the side. You look straight ahead at what you want to do. And don't be afraid of working with young guys named Josh, you know?
Well, I'm going to keep the name theme going because I have to brag on this. This song caught the attention of another Bob. Bob Dylan covered this track a couple of years ago. So you've got his stamp of approval too.
I know. That was amazing. Yeah, too.
So you mentioned, getting advice from older musicians. You've talked a lot in the past about different influences and who you're listening to and how you take those influences and put them into what you're writing at certain times in your life. So I'm just curious who you're listening to now or who you're drawing on.
Right now, we live at this incredible time where we can hear the last 120 years of music within 8 seconds of thinking about it. So in terms of new music that I hear, it's more like I'm just discovering whole veins of musical history. One of my favorites right now is a woman from the 30s and 40s named Sophie Tucker, who is like an amazing kind of vaudevillian songwriter who was very spicy for the times and really funny. So Sophie Tucker, I'm listening to Dorothy Love Coates, who's an incredible gospel singer, with her and the Harmonettes, and it's beautiful stuff that I have not found until now, and it seems new to me, you know. Yeah. And that's just the best, you know, when you discover now, like you find somebody and you hear a song and then you can partake in an entire catalog of their work. It feels like a feast.
Yeah. Well, I've got my homework now. I'm going to look them up.
Josh
Ritter live on WNRN from In Your Ear Studios in Richmond, playing at the Tin Pan in Richmond this evening. I went to the show the other night in Charlottesville, and there was this really fun moment. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but I'm going to. Spoiler alert. There's a really fun moment in the show where you read some dedications from audience members, and it was just such a special moment, and I didn't know where those came from. And then I saw on your social media that you did a call out saying, hey, if you want to make a dedication at the show this evening, you know, write in and we'll pick a few. So I'm just curious how you came up with that idea and how long you've been doing that. And
yeah, well, I didn't want it to be like a dedication of a song so much as like what a chance for people to say something to somebody who was with them that maybe they wouldn't say quite so straight up if they were saying it themselves. And I think like, you know, like anything. I love you. I'm sorry that I left food in the trash disposal overnight. And, you know, things like that that are hard to come, you know, the emotional fortitude of getting that out. And I thought maybe it's easier if I can do that. So people have been writing in these really lovely things about people that they've met that have changed their lives and the relationships they've had. And I just think that, you know, if you're on stage, you've got a microphone and you get a chance to, you know, maybe bring everybody a little closer and just remind us all that we're all human beings with, we got to get the groceries and we're trying to get out of the house and we're going through things and there's the world out there right now. And it's a useful, since we're all for a few moments in a room together, it's nice to use it for more than just me yammering, you know?
Josh Ritter live on WNRN from In Your Ear Studios in Richmond. We're enjoying the yammering, but we're enjoying the music as well. What would you like to play for us next?
Sure. I'll do this one called No Light. And this is my dad moved, when my mom died, my dad moved from northern Idaho to northern Minnesota. And, you know, I thought that would make travel easier for me, but I, in the process of going and visiting him over this last couple years, I've just been soaking in the town names of Minnesota and all these, like, you know, tropical sounding places. You know? So this is called No Light, and this is for the people of Minnesota right now. Dark days lead to dark nights, lead to dark years. No light. First heard about your legend, Minnesota, way back when. Taken from the rich and given to your friends. And your friends were the poor, up and down the line. They might inherit the world a little bit at a time. There are places on the upper plains no comfort's ever been. You made a holy mission out of laying siege to them. You were spotted in Bemidji, you escaped from Grand Marais. Everywhere you wanted, there you wanted all the way. Dark days lead to dark nights, lead to dark years. No light. Take the farmer and his family, barely living day to day. And some mysterious illness caused his wife to waste away. Took the bottle that you left at the door, said take a drop. Your prayers have all been answered, now take up your bed and walk. Take the tale of the banker man from Lake of the Woods. Like the devil himself had come to town, dressed up a snake as best he could. You chopped his tail, let him live, his neighbors burned his bags. He came to town in purple, now he's leaving in rags. Dark days lead to dark nights, lead to dark years. No light. Everywhere that you go, you are surrounded by your myth. To believe in someone, though, you don't gotta know where someone is. So I never known your whereabouts, I always know you're there. Among the ones with nothing given, what you have to share. First the cops came, then the feds came, then the army came, the men who wore no uniform, saying who they might have been. I told them all the same thing, I wouldn't have to lie. I said I wouldn't give you up, no matter how hard you try. Dark days lead to dark nights, lead to dark years. No light. Now I'm chained upon this mountain, now sometimes the doubts still creep. But who am I to ken the lines first stretched across the deep? I know you're not the vulture,
You might just be the chains. At the end of every day, your face is all that still remains. Apparition is the mother of a million beliefs. And I've had enough to know there are those you shouldn't have to meet. But I believe in you, my honeydew. I know you'll come for me. I'll be singing how you broke me out even as you lift me free. Dark days lead to dark nights, lead to dark years. No light, no light.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
No Light, Josh Ritter, live on WNRN from In Your Ears Studios in Richmond. The new album is I Believe in You, My Honeydew, playing tonight at the Tin Pan in Richmond. The show starts at 8 o'clock. I want to talk about your writing process a little bit.
Sure.
So a lot of your songs are lyrically intricate in terms of the delivery, like the song we just heard.
Yeah.
You've also written a couple of novels. In case our audience isn't aware. So you've got a couple of those under your belt. And I know your first novel actually started as a song.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of want to dig into a little bit the difference between the writing processes between songwriting and fiction writing for you.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. One year I decided I can't just be a song. I can't just write songs. There's too much time in between. You know, songs don't always come to you and then you just end up looking at the dog for 4 days. And that's great. The dog loves it. But it's like, but I decided I'm going to like run a marathon and I'm going to write a novel this year, which of course was crazy. And, but I ran a marathon and during the process of training for the marathon, I was listening to books on tape. I thought, I want to record a book on tape. I could do all the voices, but like no one would have me. So I wrote a book. I wrote a novel. And I got this great sense. I was like, when I first started, I thought, oh man, I don't have to rhyme, you know? I don't have to do any of that. I can do all this other stuff. The characters can be bigger. I can develop them. But in the end, it's still the same thing, you know? It's like you have a novel or a song is a story. It fills a bucket. It fills a certain type of container. And as much as you think it's going to be different, you're still pouring in the same love and effort into every line. You know, the rhythm of a line has to be right. You can develop things, but you always have to develop them with using the language that you would write a song with, you know? So it's very confusing because you think, well, I should be able to do that. I'm a songwriter. I've written songs. I wrote a hit song, you know, yeah. And it doesn't work like that because you can also write a very bad novel. Drafts, I've never been more embarrassed than reading my own work back to myself in my own room at night. And so it's the same. It's the same feeling. But then the joy of getting done with it and actually being able to share it is larger than all that.
So would you say you're more critical of yourself when it comes to novel writing? Or do you think you're more critical with your songs?
Well, I think that I just developed early an idea of songs that was much more natural to me at the very beginning. But I'd always been a huge reader and wanting to move into that area and write other stories. I didn't feel like a tourist. I just felt like, you know, I felt like I was moving there for a little while and seeing what writing a novel was like. And I decided I really loved it. And there are certain things that you do in life that are not the main thing you do, but they also help you to develop the rest of yourself. You know, like running that marathon, I would never have written a novel if I hadn't really started listening to these books on tape while I was running and realizing that the recorded voice was something that was for me, you know?
Right. Well, and a lot of your songs, too, are stories. They're character-based.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that said, what about approaching a song in that way kind of appeals to you in terms of when you have an idea that you want to get across, why do you choose to do it through a character or through almost like an allegory?
Yeah, it's because, probably because I don't really think that like autobiographical songwriting is for me, because I know that like mostly that my life has never been that kind of interesting, that it could support that kind of work. But at the same time, the world is so fascinating. And I remember the first time I ever really thought about writing a story about someone on the guitar. And it's still been in my head. I saw a woman who was learning to drive, and she was going around one of those rotaries, you know, which are terrifying to begin with, but then you're also learning to drive. She was maybe 50 years old, and I saw her driving around. I was walking, and there was a look in her eye that was just so full of everything that I thought, like, you couldn't write a song about that. You'd have to write a novel about what she's going through, you know. Yeah. And sometimes that's the way it is, you know. You can always fit a novel into a song, but it's like working with a grain of rice, you know. You're drawing on the grain of rice, and with a novel, it's just nice to like be able to spread out and not be so concise, mm-hmm. but still.
You also have a Substack. Speaking of writing, so it's Josh Ritter's Book of Jubilations. You know, I follow several Substacks, but what about that format? Kind of calls to you in that way. How do you choose what you share with audiences there?
Well, I think
in that forum,
I think radical transparency is the only way for me to really work, because I definitely think that like playing guitar, like playing songs, writing songs, the novel stuff, or anything you do, it's really good to learn in public. I think it's really good to learn in public, and because you know, I can practice pirouettes in my room as many times for hours, you know, but no one will ever get to see how good I am at a pirouette, you know, which is not but it is something about standing up for what you love and do, and doing it in the face of uncertainty, which is definitely about playing in public and exposing, is something that I really think I get a lot from, you know, for myself, because I, you know, a lot of times you don't even know how you feel about a song until you play it for someone else, you know, and then you realize it's either something that might be good, or you realize that it needs some time, you know, and maybe an apology. Maybe you need to apologize.
Josh Ritter live on WNRN from In Your Ear Studios in Richmond, playing at the Tin Pan in Richmond this evening. The show starts at 8:00. The new album is I Believe in You, My Honeydew. Josh, we'd love it if you take us out with one more.
Sure. I'm going to do this song from way back. Thank you guys for coming, man. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Peter said to Paul, you know all those words we wrote are just the rules of the game, and the rules are the first to go. Now talking to God is Laurel begging Hardy for a gun. I got a girl in the war, man, I wonder what it is we done. Paul said to Peter, you gotta rock yourself a little harder. Pretend the dove from above is a dragon and your feet are on fire. But I got a girl in the war, Paul, the only thing I know to do is turn up the music and pray that she makes it through. Because the keys to the kingdom got locked inside the kingdom, and the angels fly around in there, we can't see them. And I got a girl in the war, Paul, I know that they can hear me yell. If they can't find a way to help her, they can go to hell. If they can't find a way to help her, they can go to hell. Oh. Paul said to Peter, you gotta rock yourself a little harder. Pretend the dove from above is a dragon and your feet are on fire. But I got a girl in the war, Paul, her eyes are like champagne. They sparkle, bubble over, and in the morning all you got is rain. They sparkle, bubble over, and in the morning all you got is rain. They sparkle, bubble over, and in the morning all you got is rain.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Girl in the War live on WNRN. We're at In Your Ear Studios in Richmond with Josh Ritter. The new album is I Believe in You, My Honeydew, playing tonight at the Tin Pan in Richmond. The show starts at 8 o'clock. Josh, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks a lot, Desiree. Thanks a lot for everybody for having me here, man. Hell yeah.
Thanks to the crew at In Your Ear Studios, my WNRN colleagues who are here, and to the WNRN members and underwriters in the audience whose support makes sessions like this possible. Today's session is supported by the Dave Bandus Memorial Fund. Dave was a friend of WNRN who lived for live music and believed in the power of experiencing it together. Because of this fund, WNRN in-studio sessions continue to bring that spirit to life. For those of you here, for everyone listening, and for Dave too. For WNRN, I'm Desiree Moses. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, guys.